The Cannabis Deals With Me podcast, episode 114.
You're listening to the Cannabis Heals Me podcast, where we explore the real stories of real people who have discovered the profound healing properties of the cannabis plant in their own lives. Find more at cannabisheelsme.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cannabis Heals Me podcast. This is your host, Rachel Kennerly, channeling for a moment my inner Mrs. Doubtfire. Thank you once again for joining me. I really appreciate putting up with all my absences of late and then all my terrible impressions as you first come in. I mean, that's enough to send everybody running for the hills, right? But you, my favorite listener, of course you are. You are willing to put up with it all in hopes of hearing a halfway decent show on the medical benefits of the cannabis plant. And hopefully you will consider today's episode your reward for all your putting up with my shenanigans and whatnot. But before I introduce today's guest, I want to give you a couple of reminders. Make sure you are sharing the podcast each week with three people. I also want to remind you to go out and subscribe to the podcast. And while you're out there subscribing, if you would do us the huge favor of going ahead and giving us a rating or a review on the podcast app, that gives us lots of good juices with the algorithms, and the podcast app you're using will actually promote our podcast to other people free of charge. If you're interested in becoming a financial supporter of the Cannabis Heals Me podcast so that we can actually pay for some advertising outside of the free advertising we get when you trigger that algorithm, you can go out to patreon.com/chmpodcast. And if you enjoy this show and you want to listen to some more crunchy granola freedom on your podcast app, go check out the Liberty Hippie Network. You can go out to Liberty Hippie, HIPPIE, pods, pods.com, and check out some of the other great podcasts on the network. Our guest today is Katie King, and Katie is actually a listener of the podcast. Her husband turned her on to the show, and she has had some recent improvements in her health because of cannabis, and she wanted to come on the show and share her experience. So I'm very pleased to be joined today by Katie King. Hey, Katie, welcome to the program.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. I was really excited to get your email. You sent me an email and said, hey, my husband and I have been listening for a while. It's always nice to get feedback to know that, you know, somebody's out there listening and appreciating the content. And just the testimony that you shared on email, I don't want to read the email. I'll just kind of let you share it. But it sounds like you've made some amazing progress in using cannabis as medicine in the past few months. And just wanted to open the floor up to you and let you share that with us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, what I shared with you was really just the tip of the iceberg with everything. I had battled with PTSD severely for since 2013, I think it was. And so I guess now 7 years later, and then slowly it got worse and it morphed into bipolar, which I had suspected that, you know, when I was younger. And then ADHD, and then fibromyalgia kind of snuck in. And then I ended up also with like multiple personality disorder to where I would just dissociate. And I would have conversations with people to where I didn't remember the conversation, or I would think I had a conversation with somebody, but it never really happened. It was just like in my head. And it was, a lot of it was due to the fact of like childhood trauma and abuse and everything. And so I would basically dissociate and pretend that I had these kind of hard conversations with people, or even just opening up how I felt about something. And so I'd been on all sorts of meds. I'd been in 3 inpatient facilities when I was 17.
Oh, wow.
Over the course of like 5 months, ended up like in a wilderness program. That one absolutely changed my life. I thank God for that place. It's called Seuss of the Ozarks, and it's in North Carolina. As far as like when I went back way back in the day, you know, like almost 10 years ago, over 10 years ago, they like misdiagnosed me with a borderline personality disorder. And so, but because of that diagnosis, they refused to actually release me to my parents. So I ended up having to go to Texas to this place called Christmas Creek Village. Do never send your children there. And yeah, it's horribly abusive. And
just what you needed, right?
Right. Yeah, totally. I started having hallucinations at that point.
Goodness.
I was like, yeah, it was really crazy. But I was also like not on any meds at that point either. But I was seeing things like crazy, you know? And so that ended up opening up a whole bunch of other issues. But anyway, after I got back home, you know, I ended up kind of just rebelling and I ended up pregnant out of a very abusive situation. And then I ended up having to place her for adoption out of my will.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I had all of these massive things happen to me.
Yeah.
And I was never allowed for my religious beliefs that I was brought up in and that I married into to really explore cannabis. And I'd heard about it, you know, helping cancer patients with nausea and everything. And I was like, oh, I'm nauseous all the time. I want to not feel nauseous, you know, and, you know, not realizing it was anxiety. So when we first explored cannabis, I had at that point in time needed to get all of my teeth pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
Having at that point, 2 children and, the fibromyalgia combined with that, it just totally rotted my teeth out. And, they were just falling out in chunks from me eating mashed potatoes and scrambled eggs.
Wow.
And I was just in horrible pain and nothing helped. And then I got, we ended up ordering like from the black market.
Uh-huh.
And, we got like a little vape. It was a sativa, so it didn't really help with the pain that much. I mean, it helped, but it could have done better. But it really like opened me up like spiritually. And I was like, whoa, I'm feeling things that I've never experienced before. I haven't experienced this in a really long time, this feeling. And then, you know, my husband was like, I can feel you thinking about going and eating French fries. And I'm like, what? It was so weird. And like, I mean, we'd already always had like a really close connection. And like when we first met, like we would go back and forth and like, he would have something in his head and I would actually say it. And he would tell me all the time, woman, get out of my head.
Oh, wow.
And so like, that was just kind of like the beginning of us realizing that we had such a strong connection that it was past the physical. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, exploring with the weed, it really, oh my God, it really just opened all that up. And then, when my fibromyalgia really got heavy, it was like, I couldn't get out of bed. I'm in bed for a really long period of time and everything. And over like, I think it was October of last year and up to February, March, something like that, I was in bed. I could not get out of bed.
Wow.
I couldn't get out to shower. I couldn't spend time with my daughter. I was just in bed and I was sleeping. And it was to the point to where my husband was so afraid for me that I would pass, or that he would come and check in on me and I would just be gone. And one of the things that ended up happening was when my mother-in-law moved out, it was like it changed the energy in the home, you know, because then I no longer was worried about whether or not she was in the same room with me or just all the weird things that you deal with in-laws and having to, live together. And I just felt more at ease, you know, because I had my space and I felt safe. And once that happened, and then we started having regular income coming in to where we could actually afford the cannabis. And it was like I was able to finally delve deep into what was actually going on within me. And the cannabis created this almost like medicated coma for me to where I really had to go slow with it. And I would do a lot of like meditations and stuff like that. And it was mainly to try to get relief from the fibromyalgia pain. And, but in doing the meditations, it was like, it really opened me up and it allowed me to see things from a different perspective and realize how my perspective of life was just so altered, especially with my parents and my upbringing. And, it was just a very abusive kind of childhood.
Yeah.
And seeing how, their interactions with me were like just so toxic and inappropriate or, you know, abusive or whatever, you know, and being able to see truly like where I begin and where they end and like really come into like my identity as a person and realizing that for so long I've been trying to live my life, you know, trying to please others and make others happy and fit into somebody else's cookie cutter mold that like I literally was chopping away at myself, and it ended up like manifesting in this physical pain of in my body. And so once I started intentionally releasing that and just, you know, I started doing affirmations, and the day that I started doing affirmations, I started seeing change in myself. And it was all like, I love myself for who I am. I can accomplish anything I set my mind to. You know, I mean, just good things that everybody needs to hear, you know? But it was something that I had never heard growing up. I'd never been affirmed like that. And so I learned that I had to do that for myself. And cannabis was like the tool that I ended up using too much and then backed off and then realized that I needed a little bit more. And it was like this structure to like create this healing environment within myself to get it to where, I don't know. It was like a deeper level of healing. Like it was that soul level of healing. And in doing that, it was like, it really opened me up to seeing that, you know, in a way, you know, I am spiritually connected and, you know, I know things sometimes before it happens, and I don't feel like that's crazy. I think that that is a part of who we are as people that is, you know, like I found that it weed or cannabis, it's like, really helps amplify that. So that way we're sensitive to those spiritual aspects of ourselves.
Several of the folks that I've talked to have mentioned that, how it gives them, it makes them kind of more aware and makes them more in tune with their bodies. And have you ever read the book, it's by Bessel van der Kolk or something. I have to look up. It's called The Body Keeps the Score.
I haven't, no.
It's about how trauma, even not even physical trauma in our body that we don't even remember, can still manifest years, decades later in physical ways. It's a fascinating book. I read it myself and then have recommended it to other people. And it's really eye-opening because you think, oh, I'm just being dramatic or that's a bunch of frou-frou BS.
Right.
It's really true that the body remembers, even if we don't have a physical remembrance of something that might have happened to us, our body remembers and can hold that in.
Oh, massively. And like, I found that the pain actually manifested in areas of my body that I hated.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it was really interesting. I battled with self-harm the last time, you know, full disclosure, the last time I saw Tom's was like 4 months ago, you know, like at the beginning of this journey, you know, but it's like, I have struggled with it since I was 14.
Wow.
And, my arms are just covered, my arms, my legs, my shoulders, they're covered in scars. And so I hated that, you know, 'cause I look at my scars and they're very obvious, some of them. And it's, you know, it's embarrassing for me because it's like, you know, I did that to myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I deserve that shame, you know, kind of thing. And it's like learning to love my scars and seeing the scars as what they are. They're scars. They're not open wounds.
Yeah.
They're scars. And which means that it's healed over and I need to let that go. And I need to learn to love the parts of myself that I don't, because there's no reason for me to not love myself, you know? And the only reason that I could ever find to not love myself is because somebody else doesn't love me. And that's bull crap.
Yeah.
You know, why do you care if somebody else doesn't love you?
Exactly.
Well, obviously you're not going to have them in your life. So bye-bye, you know, let that go right off you, you know? And so when I started realizing, number one, why I was self-harming and realizing that it was a self-punishment because of the distortion of my environment growing up and, you know, what I was taught to believe, it was like, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, my hands were another one that like was really strong. And a lot of it was due to like, my mom was so like finicky about how I wrote things. We were homeschooled. And so penmanship back in the day, you know, having to write in cursives and everything had to be perfect. Everything had to be just how it was in the trace paper and everything. And if you messed up or you made it messy, you had to erase the whole thing. And you couldn't just get another paper. You had to just erase the whole paper. And
wow.
There would be times to where I would intentionally rip a hole in the paper to like try to just get another paper. Like, this is so stupid. Why can't I just get another paper? And she would still make me use it, like, and just write around the hole and everything. And so because writing was such a, it was like a slave driven task, you know, like you had to do it with perfection and, you know, you had to hold the pen just a certain way. I couldn't hold it in a way that was comfortable for me. I had to hold it the way that she wanted me to, how the book taught her. And so, it was just very rigid kind of standard that was being applied. And so I hated my writing. I never felt like my handwriting was good enough. I never felt like I achieved any sort of like beauty with my handwriting, because I saw my mother's handwriting and it was so beautiful, I thought. And, you know, I wanted my handwriting to look like that. And I didn't realize that I have my own style of handwriting and I don't need to try to do it just like my mother's or like anybody's. I need to develop my own and, you know, my own style, and it's okay to be different. And I was like so forced into this cookie cutter, you know, again. And, so once I started to accept the differences within myself and recognizing that I'm different for a reason, and that I have interests in different areas for a reason, even though nobody else may around me,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean that those interests or desires are wrong. It just means that nobody else around me, you know, has the same interests, and I just don't know the other people that are similar.
Now, you mentioned that your family was very rigid, and it sounds like, and you may have said this, but I have a 2-second memory, that it was a very religious background growing up. So I'm assuming that cannabis was considered the devil's lettuce and it's illegal and therefore immoral and you'll go to hell if you do it. How did you come to even consider cannabis as medicine given that background?
Well, because of the background. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. You know, it's very literal, you know, that's my background. I was raised Baptist and then I married into a Pentecostal family.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a year and a half of being married, life hit us really hard and we left the church. And for a long time, you know, we battled with just, you know, struggling to find the truth and, you know, feeling like, you know, the church just wasn't it. And at least with the structures that it has today and everything. And we went back and forth for a while, but it really got to where we stopped listening to what the pastors were saying. And we started reading the Bible.
There's a novel concept, right?
Right. But not just that. I mean, it was like, we started reading not only the Bible, but then we started looking at like what was going on, the history of different things. And we actually found out that, during the Holy of Holies ceremony that they did once a year in the temple and everything, They actually burned cannabis. And so we found that out, and it was really interesting. So we were like, well, if they did that in the Holy of Holies, you know, quote unquote, bring down the spirit of God, what does that mean about cannabis? And so we actually started using cannabis in a religious way. And it wasn't like we were doing a ceremony or anything, but we would basically go outside and talk about God and talk about the different things in the Bible and what we were learning. And we found that as we did that, like, our eyes began to open. God is not confined by what we want him to be and what we think he is. And what he expects of us is really just so much less than what the world puts upon us. And, you know, it's like, man, just love each other, be kind to each other, you know, and help each other when you can.
Yeah.
And it's like that. And what's crazy to me is, like, in my whole process, the origin of it all was stemming from me learning to love myself. Because I realized that if we don't know how to love ourselves, then we can't give love, because we only give what is within us. So if you don't have any love within you, you got to put it in you. And that's where the affirmations kind of came in, was that I had to put that love and that acceptance and that confidence and that self-control. And I want to say, I heard a commercial talk about ADD symptoms being the lack of ability to control your actions. And I thought that was crazy. And I'm like, no, that's self-control. Anyway, sorry. But yeah, so it's like I had to put all that in me and tell myself that I could do it and I was capable and I can accomplish all this. And then, you know, and the weed was every bit of the way, man, every bit of the way. It, like, helped me to receive that. It helped me to believe it, you know, because, yeah, when you're a little high, you tend to believe things a little better. You know, so when you're talking to yourself and you're doing those affirmations, it does help, you know, just to be able to receive that. You know, but it's like, once I started to stay full and I started to put into myself at a rate that was faster than what I was putting out, and that start, you know, that massively stemmed from putting boundaries up and just, you know, cutting people out of my life I didn't need to. And, you know, just taking care of myself in the simplest of ways, you know, like taking a bath every day, you know, but from taking a bath 4 times a month to taking a bath 1 to 2 times a day. So, and that happened over like a 2-week period. I mean, it was, and, you know, while I can't take all the credit, I know I did a lot of the work, you know, and everything, but I definitely give a lot of credit to cannabis in this, because if it wasn't for that, I mean, I no longer have dissociative episodes. I no longer, I can't remember the last time I actually felt depressed. I'm sorry if you hear my daughter and my husband.
No, you're good. You're good.
Anyway, all right. So, yeah, I no longer have those racing thoughts of anxiety and, you know, telling me that, you know, I can't do it and I'm not good enough. And, you know, I don't have what I need, you know, and what if this and what if that, you know, and I'm, you know, obsessed and fret frantically, you know, when I allow myself to. And just being able to quiet my mind and being in the moment and learning what being in the moment is an incredible journey, because you realize that what you're doing is not being in the moment, then you change it, and then you realize it still isn't being in the moment, and then you change it, and then you're like, oh wait, I'm still not being in the moment. Crap. And it's like there are layers to this, you know, and it's like the cannabis just allows you to open that onion, and it's like a very gentle and safe way of really exposing those wounds and allowing the cleaning and the purging to happen. And you know, and that was another thing that I found very interesting, was there were times to where I would smoke and I would purge, And it was so cleansing for me. And it wasn't like I smoked too much or anything. It was like it would just hit me different. And, you know, we found that as your needs changed, cannabis kind of changed with that. Even though you may be dealing with the same exact strain, you could smoke it three different days and have three totally different results. And, you know, when you're feeling the need to do something and needing motivation, like it'll give you that. And then, you know, even if it's an indica, sometimes it doesn't matter if that's what you're needing, then that's what it's going to give you. And then, you know, if you need to just kind of chill out, you know, it's going to sedate you. And then if you need to be a little bit more romantic, it's going to help you in that area.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you have been able to, with the help working with your therapist, you've actually been able to get off a lot of medications.
Oh, I'm actually 100% off of my medications now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I wanted to really allow myself to feel the emotions that I was experiencing. I noticed I was on lithium, for my bipolar. And, the thing with lithium is that it balances you, but almost to a state of nothingness. And so you don't feel any negativity, but you also don't feel any positivity. And so it does keep you balanced, but it's a forced balance that's not natural. And the thing is that I believe that we have dictated that, you know, well, you're not supposed to have extreme emotions. I think mm-hmm. it's extremely healthy to have extreme emotions.
Right.
You just need to know how to properly, you know, channel that and execute it. Mm-hmm. And not allowing your emotions to get the best of you. And, you know, it's all about taking responsibility for your actions and dealing with the fact that, you know, yeah, I can blow up and be a real, you know, cat in the face sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And I am, I need to, you know, kind of calm down, you know, and when you realize that these issues that we've put labels on are really just character flaws that we're not choosing to identify and work on, or the toxicity that is affecting us, and pushing that out and being able to put up boundaries. Now, I mean, I didn't have that ability as a child to say to my parents, you know, stop treating me this way. But, you know, or at least get any sort of decent result from that.
It wouldn't have been pretty. It wouldn't have been pretty.
No. And it wasn't, because I did that a lot. I was a very vocal child, and I told my parents what was what.
Yeah.
And I think that was what kind of ended up breaking that, was the fact that I threw the truth in their face, which was really funny, because they taught me and they raised me to be very honest, to be too honest and too open and too transparent, so that way they could keep tabs on me. But what they didn't realize was that it actually instilled within me the need and desire for honesty. So when I would see something, I would just say it. And like, you know, well, but it is what it is. Like, why would I say it's something that it's not, you know? So yeah, being able to put up those walls and everything, it just really helped with that.
Yeah. What is your therapist, has he or she worked with other patients who have been able to use cannabis to wean off medications? Did they have experience doing this?
No, they didn't. But it was something to where I actually vocalized to my doctor and my therapist that I wanted to just take myself off of the medication
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to get back to base level. I felt like I was on so many medicines at the time. And I told my doctors, I said, I want to get off all my meds. And I'll taper on the ones that I need to, which I did. But I want to get off all my meds. And I want to get back to baseline, because I felt toxic. And I felt like that was absolutely causing some more physical issues with the mm-hmm. fibromyalgia. So they agreed, and they were like, but you communicate with us. I was having weekly sessions with my therapist, making sure that I was doing good. She was working with me on a lot of different things. I ended up actually within a month, I was doing so well that she allowed me to go to twice a month.
Nice.
And now I'm down to monthly. You know, it's been something that even my therapist was actually really surprised about. She, you know, it to her joy, you know, she's really excited. And it's actually really cool because I'm starting to see my therapist smile more, mm-hmm. which is really weird because I've never experienced that all my years of being in therapy. It's very nice to see a therapist smile back at you as you're talking. So it's been a pleasant surprise for all of us, I think, you know, just kind of exploring that and them having an open mind, even though I'm not in a legal state, and them respecting my wishes. And, you know, I know part of it is like HIPAA or whatever, but is very encouraging to have somebody that, even though they don't necessarily believe in it, they're supporting me and what I see could be beneficial for myself. And it's definitely something I don't recommend everybody doing. I just want to put that out there. Please don't just do that because I did it, because I say this with all the love in my heart. Not everybody can do what I've done.
Right.
Not everybody can live the life that I have lived to the extent that I've lived it and do this massive internal healing that I've been able to accomplish on my own.
Yeah.
And with very little aid, honestly, from my therapy team. Mm-hmm. It's been the majority between me and my husband. So, and I'm not saying that nobody can do that, but I just don't want anybody to jump in and think that they can do it just because I did it, but get help and definitely do some research before jumping in on that.
Yeah. I think that's good advice. I think everybody is different, you know, that's not, we don't live in a cookie cutter world. Everybody is a little bit different than everybody else.
Exactly. And everybody's going to find what works for them in what way. And, you know, I could tell you all the things that I've done, but I mean, the main thing with me was just doing those affirmations and, mm-hmm. You know, doing the cannabis on a regulated regimen, to where, you know, yes, we use like the little vape carts, so we can, I guess, gauge a little bit better how much we're intaking than if we were using the flower. It's massively, massively helpful, and we can kind of go more on how we're feeling and then go take a couple hits here and there as we need to, instead of having to get massively high periodically through the day and have a massive crash. It's just a lot more stabilizing. I don't even feel high, and I'm high right now. You get to that point to where you're functioning, you know, but it's at a good level. And then, you know, there'll be times where you'll taper off and you won't feel the need to do that. And if you listen to your body, you know so much more about what you need than you give yourself credit for, and then what the doctors and the pharmaceutical companies want you to believe. You know so much more than what they do, because you're the one that lives in your body. You're the one that knows what you're feeling so much more than anybody else does.
Well, this has been great, Katie. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. And I hope that it will be an inspiration to other people who have struggled with similar conditions to know that there is hope, and you can find hope in cannabis.
Absolutely. I'm sorry for rambling sometimes.
No, you're good.
I have a lot to say, and it's hard to keep it organized sometimes.
It is. It's hard. I mean, if you don't have a whole lot of experience public speaking, it's hard to get it all kind of organized. But I enjoy these just kind of informal chats, and anything that kind of goes off on a rabbit trail, we can always edit out, and that's no big deal. That's the power of post production.
Oh, yes, definitely. Thank you so much for letting me come and share my story. This is
absolutely
very meaningful for me.
Yeah, I really appreciate you being willing to do that. And
yeah,
it's been great. I think it's going to speak to a lot of people who have some of the similar conditions that you've had. So I hope that it's an inspiration to others that are struggling with these same things.
Yeah, me too. Definitely.
All right. Thank you so much, Katie. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Show notes for today's episode can be found out at cannabishealsme.com/114. We will be back here on Thursday of this week, and we're going to be joined by Mark Thornton, PhD. He and I sat down a few weeks ago and talked about his dissertation that he wrote back in the 80s that shows that as things become illegal, they become more potent, also known as the Iron Law Prohibition. So we will be back here on Thursday with Dr. Mark Thornton. You guys have a great week. Thank you so much for listening.
Hit the subscribe button and you'll never miss an episode of the Cannabis Heals Me podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or whatever podcast app you're using. Do you have a suggestion for a guest on Cannabis Heals Me? Send an email to podcast@cannabishealsme.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please do not take any information from Cannabis Heals Me or its guests as medical advice. Contact your licensed physician before taking cannabis or using it for medical treatments.